Hospital by the River, written by Dr. Catherine Hamblin with John Little, and read by Kate Hood. I shall call her Anatinesh, a common name in Ethiopia. It is evening. She crouches by the fire burning in the centre of the hut, somewhere out in the country, far from the nearest town, preparing food for her husband. Three cows, their entire wealth, stand and chew their cud quietly in the shadows. Outside, the hyenas howl. There is barely enough wat to feed them. Anatinesh and her husband break off pieces of injera, which they use as a scoop. As ever, Anatinesh takes the smaller portion, and when the meal is over, they are both still hungry. They accept this as normal. A little hunger is better than starvation, which they have experienced all too often when famines ravage the countryside. There is no light in the tukul except for the flames. They cannot afford a lamp. No furniture. The bed is a goatskin spread over a raised section of mud floor against one wall. There are a few blankets, old and threadbare, to keep out the bitter cold of the highland night. The flat clay plate for cooking injera, one or two cooking pots, some large clay jars for fetching water from the well half a kilometre away. These are their possessions. Anatinesh could be 14 or 15. I have seen them younger. But let's say she is 17, married for a year, and pregnant with her first child. After finishing the meal, they do not stay up. They are exhausted from their long day working the little plot where they grow a few vegetables, perhaps some sugarcane and the teff for the injera. They have no books. They could not afford such things, and anyway, they are illiterate. There is no radio. Television is unheard of. They build up the fire, check the door to see that the cattle are secure, wrap themselves in their blankets, and curl up on the mat to sleep. In the middle of the night, Anatinesh feels her first contractions. She welcomes them, but she is also afraid. She knows that childbirth may not be easy. She has heard bad stories. She tries not to think about them and faces the coming ordeal with fortitude. For better or worse, it must be endured, for she is a woman, and without children she is nothing. She offers a prayer to Christos, the Jesus of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, to make her labour an easy one. As she finishes praying, she is seized by another contraction which makes her cry out. Her husband mutters in his sleep and rolls over. She does not wake him. He would not welcome being disturbed when he has to be up at dawn. She knows this is something a woman must endure alone. By morning, the contractions are coming at closer intervals. Her husband lets out the cattle and drives them off for the day. Before he leaves, he alerts his mother, who lives in the same compound, to come and stand by. The mother is experienced in these matters. She has had 10 children of her own, 4 of them, by the grace of God, still alive. She tells her daughter-in-law to get out of bed and crouch. It will help the baby to be born. All that day, Anatinesh squats, straining in agony, but the baby does not come. Her husband is not an unkind man. That night, when he comes in from the fields, he inquires after his wife's well-being. He does not put his arm around her or hold her hand. Such displays of affection would be inappropriate. Still, he is concerned, and his thoughts are for her. The contractions continue throughout the night. Anatinesh lies in her blankets during the hours of darkness, but every time she drops off to sleep, the relentless pain wakes her. Oh, please, dear God, let the baby be born soon and give it life.